Morning, everyone. Can you hear me, Jean?
Yes, thank you.
You can? Good. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Don't you think this is impressive? We're at number 6 in this series in Corinthians, and we're already at chapter 3. Pretty good going for me, that, isn't it? And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions amongst you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labour. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. We said before that when a person becomes a Christian, then the only thing that changes is their position, which is now in Christ, and destined for heaven, rather than continuing under God's condemnation as unregenerate sinners. For some people who've been, let's say, very wayward in their behaviour, then there's sometimes a noticeable change. They start to treat people a whole lot better than they did before. They may stop in an instant performing certain sinful patterns of behaviour. But their sin nature doesn't change one little bit. In fact, we're all stuck with that, as I'm sure you older folks can vouch for, until the day you die. It's just that as believers we learn to cover it up a bit better. If before we were saved, we were prone to ignoring driving signs, particularly the one that says 30 mile an hour, and guess what? We're still tempted to ignore it. Maybe we liked a good gossip at somebody else's expense. And if we're honest, that propensity hasn't gone away. Although I would hope that we've learned, at least a bit, to keep our tongues under control, to be a bit more circumspect and restrained in the things that we allow to come out of our mouths. But the temptation to do whatever it was that you did before never goes away. And the Corinthians were no different. Obviously, with the exception, perhaps, of speeding signs. Yes, they knew they were justified by faith. They knew that God would sanctify them. That is, complete that work that he had begun in them one day. But they shrank from, or ignored, the other aspect of their adoption, that of their sonship, that we learned about in Romans 8. Because in that aspect of their Christian lives, God was looking for men and women who were willing to sacrifice the time to learn his word, to take on board and put into practice in their lives those attributes that Robert's already referred to this morning, that we refer to as being the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, and so on. And these are the attributes of God himself, if you think about it, that were reflected in the life of our Saviour as he walked on the earth, and which we are to emulate as his adopted sons and daughters. Ask yourself too, was Jesus, as a son, willing to contend for what the Father had shown him in his word with others, irrespective of the possible consequences? Paul too, and the apostles. By the time Paul wrote Corinthians, some of them had been believers for at least 4 years. Long enough, you'd think, for some of those fruits of the Spirit to start to have an impact, at least on the way in which they behaved towards others and towards one another. But they hadn't, had they? Otherwise Paul wouldn't have had to say to them, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as babes in Christ." He couldn't speak to them about anything other than basic doctrine. And he still can't at the time of writing, because they're still acting like spiritual babies, still allowing their sin nature to dominate their lives, even though some of them may have been as old as Paul, or even older in the faith. Some of them as long in the faith as he'd been, and still not progressed along that road to any degree of spiritual maturity. They'd not learned a thing beyond the basics. Maybe all they'd heard in their church services was the gospel, the way of salvation being presented in one way or another, over and over again, to the detriment of anything else beyond that. And yet God has saved them and us for a purpose. It isn't the be-all and end-all, getting into heaven. And some people will frown at that, because that's just a start of what God wants from us. We've already heard that the creation is groaning, eagerly awaiting the revealing of the sons of God. That's you and me. Those who in this life have learned, to some extent, to think like he does, to act as he would, so that when they get into the heavenlies, they're already prepared in the way that they think to play their part in whatever it is about being sons of God that we're going to be doing, or have the potential to be doing. Because for believers who don't grow up, for instance, for those whose Christianity hasn't impacted their life that much, and for those who aren't prepared to take a stand for their faith when called upon to do so, to the best of their ability, just like these Corinthians at this point, yes, they'll be in heaven, because God has promised it. They'll be heirs of God, as we heard in Romans 8. But they'll get there, as Paul puts it in this passage: they themselves will be saved, yet so as through fire. But there'll be no joint heirship with Christ through suffering with him during their lives, as we heard last time. And that is a qualification, as the text clearly states, for receiving that particular reward, being prepared to suffer with him for their faith. They were too taken up, as we said before, with the things of this life. Perhaps they didn't want their unsaved neighbours to point at them as weirdos. Maybe they compromised what they knew to be right in order to get along with their workmates. Who knows? But for whatever reason, they weren't prepared to take a stand, not even with each other. Otherwise, why would they have continued to live as they did before, contending and arguing with each other about things that aren't even supposed to be an issue? Or maybe they misinterpreted what Paul was saying back in Romans 8, as many in the church had done. "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." Most in the church lump all of that together. But they hadn't even reached that point in their spiritual lives, had they? Where they were willing to put aside their own selfish desires and work together as a body in union with Christ. Because as Paul puts it in verse 3 of our chapter, "For where there are envy, strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" Verse 3. And of course Paul was pointing to the way in which their sin nature was still manifesting itself, wasn't he? And strife between believers, and envy of one another, and divisions among them. What kind of example to unbelievers were they being at this point? Never mind to each other. Was there anything about them that those who were searching for the truth could look at and say, "I want what they've got"? Exactly the opposite, don't you think? Well, if that's Christianity, it's not for me. Hypocrites. And we see it all the time, don't we? In married couples, even believers who can't get along and sometimes separate. Or maybe they don't separate, but live out their lives opposed to each other a lot of the time. And those who teach the word getting caught out in some indiscretion or worse that sees them brought to justice. And churches that divide over the smallest point of doctrine. And we've witnessed that too, haven't we? And reminds them that whatever gifts that any of them have, whether it's to preach or to teach the word of God, then it's God who's graciously given them that gift. And it's God too who gives the increase. Both in people coming to faith and then teaching them how to think and act from his word. Yes, he uses preachers to get the point over to them on a Sunday. But then they forget what they've heard the rest of the week as a reality of life. As the reality of life and its problems overwhelm them. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who planted anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. And we need to spend time in the week with the Lord on a daily basis. We've said it before, in one way or another, either in the word or in prayer and meditation, reminding ourselves through listening to a message on the radio or CD or on our iPads. Many means of getting the words nowadays. Or even in the midweek meeting, that should there ever be the desire or the numbers to restart, then we will. And I'm in thinking how we can put those things into practice in our lives. Because if we don't, then God will never give the increase in our lives, in our church, and becoming conformed in our thoughts to the way that he thinks. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his labour. And we know that Paul was the one who planted. He was the one who first gave them the good news of peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But then Paul had to move on, didn't he? He was the apostle to the Gentiles. He was our apostle. And there were a whole lot more Gentiles in the world, even then, who needed to hear the good news. And so he left them, it seems, in the care of Apollos and Cephas too, as we heard in chapter 1. But the problem with the Corinthians was that they chose to continue to let their sin nature rule over their lives, instead of the word of God, under the leading of the Holy Spirit. And it led to all the things that we've heard about: division, strife, backbiting, jealousy. Instead of what ought to have been going on in their lives, an increasing conformity in their thinking to the mind of Christ. And it isn't that they hadn't heard, because they too had heard Paul teach them the content of the book of Romans. And so I'll finish with this thought from chapter 12 of that letter that the Corinthians had forgotten. Or if they hadn't forgotten, then it just wasn't important to them. But first we'll read the encouragement followed by the warning that he gave to the Corinthians if they chose to continue on their present path, if they chose to ignore this letter that he wrote to them. Verse 10, and let each one heed how he builds on it, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And they understood that bit, and we understand it too. Verse 12, now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, and we know the fruits that the Spirit would have us exhibit in our lives, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, or alternatively, wood, hay, straw, or jealousy, division, and strife. Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it. And that day referred to there, for us, is the judgment seat of Christ. Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. And so, just to remind us, as Paul taught in Romans, and we put it up on the overhead, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen.